If you got your Bibles, turn with me today to the book of Romans chapter 10. Oh, glory. I spoke this to my staff, felt love of the Lord to speak it to the church here. Romans chapter 10. As you're turning to Romans chapter 10, I am very interested in what Jesus says. Most people are interested in what he looks like. I prefer to know what he says. Because what he says is what changes my life, not what he looks like. What he looks like might give you goosebumps, and that's great, but goosebumps don't feed you. Amen. Doesn't help you. I noticed something Jesus constantly said, he that hath an ear, let him hear. It's in all four gospels, it's all over the Bible, because for some reason or another, God, the Father, Jesus, the Son, and the Holy Spirit love the ear. Write this down. The ear is the organ of response. It is where orders are heard and the choice of obedience is made. Write that down. The ear is the organ of response. He that hath an ear, let him hear what I'm saying. It is where orders are heard and the choice of obedience is made. The choice. It's never forced on you to obey. It's a choice to obey. But it has to come through the ear. Now, we're going to deal where it goes after it gets in the ear. Now, when he said, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Something went off in my mind, and I've read it so many times, and it's Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing. So then faith cometh by hearing. A beginning is happening. He that hath an ear, let him hear. So then faith cometh by hearing. Now you got to know what you're hearing. And hearing by the word of God. I want to talk this morning about the genesis of faith. Everybody say Genesis. I met a beautiful little girl that was 5 months old the other day. Her name was Genesis. She was so sweet. She look at her little head up and just kind of bobble at you. I said, what's this child's name? Genesis. I said, the beginning. The beginning. I love Genesis. It's my favorite book in the Old Testament. My favorite book in the New Testament is the book of Ephesians. But I love the Old Testament. It says, in the beginning, God created. He that hath an ear, let him hear what I'm saying. The theoretical physicist. See, you want to know what happened before the Big Bang. You call it singularity. Let me tell you what it is. God. You just call it singularity. That's it. That's as far as your mind can go. You can't get any higher. Ain't nothing left. Singular. No, God. Because before the Big Bang, God. God. He that hath an ear, let him hear. See what I'm saying? The genesis of faith. Let me read verse 17 again of Romans of chapter 10. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if the ear is the organ of response, and it's where the orders are heard and the choice of obedience made, then it's very important where that hearing goes to. Let me tell you where it goes to. It goes to your soul. It does not go to your spirit. It goes to your soul. The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotion. The soul, that's why God loves us, because that's where the spirit is recreated. That's why God said in Romans 12, be not conformed to this world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your soul, or the word mind, that you may prove that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That you, not him. See, so when someone doesn't receive in the soul, a condition takes place. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself right now, but I'll give you a little hint. It's called the condition of unbelief. Unbelief is created when you don't hear. Faith is created when you do hear. The genesis of faith. Now, when you look at this, you got to understand something. There's four types of the word. And I want you to write this down, believe some of them. There is the hearing of the written word. Then there's the hearing of the spoken word. Leave some room. I'm going to deal with all that. There's the hearing of the incarnate word. The word was made flesh. Now, watch this. There's the hearing of the mystic word. Ooh. And I ain't talking about voodoo and occult. Because see, when you hear, four types of the word come up in your soul. The written word, the spoken word, the incarnate word, the mystic word. I want to deal with that. Let me say it again. The ear is the organ of response. It is where orders are heard. Orders. Command ye me concerning the word of God, and the choice of obedience is made. So there's a hearing of the written word. Now, when you're reading, you're actually hearing the written word. Even if you're inside, you're hearing those words go on. Now, they're going into your soul. Now, what would they do after they get there? Do they create unbelief or do they create faith? Let's deal with that. There's a hearing of the written word. Number one, write this down. And I call the word of God golden. The golden senses of scripture, when heard, summon up life in the heart. You see, when you hear the word of God in the soul, and it, instead of producing unbelief, it produces faith. It summons up life in your spirit. Something begins to percolate. Remember the old Sanka coffee? Tuk-tuk-tuk-tuk-tuk. Tuk-tuk-tuk-tuk-tuk-tuk-tuk-tuk. You know that coffee commercial? I mean, that's been going on probably for 40 years. I still haven't got that out of my mind. Tuk-tuk-tuk-tuk-tuk. You know, you see the little, the coffee going up in that little glass globe. So this golden synthesis of scripture, when heard, summon up life in the heart. People say, Brother Jesse, why do you have so much life in you? Well, bless God, I hear. And what I hear summons my life. I don't even have to call it. You know why I've lived all this time? I'm 65 years old at the time of this preaching. And it's been amazing how healthy I have been with the track record of my family. I should have had, according to every doctor, a total heart attack at 34 years old. My father had a major heart attack at 34. My oldest brother had a major heart attack at 34. My youngest brother had a heart attack at 34. Everybody, my uncle Edward died of a heart attack on a drilling rig. If I go to my mama's side, it was either cancer or diabetes kill everybody, because everybody died in their 40s. So if I look at my genetic order, I am in trouble. But I didn't, because I would not hear that. Yeah. Kathy helped me on that quite a bit. I wanted to hear what Jesus said, so I would hear this by reading the written word. With long life would he satisfy you and show you his salvation, or his soundness. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Yeah. My Lord, by his stripes I am healed. So it didn't make no difference what attacked me, because I had an answer older than the attack. See, that's the hearing of the written word. Those are the golden sentences of God that summon up life when you need life immediately. When I've been down in 3 airplane crashes and the devil think he's going to kill me, I went, no! With long life, he satisfies me. Then I told the people on the plane, y'all better be glad I was on this plane. Because my destiny and my destination has not yet been fulfilled. See, that's the hearing of the written word. Yeah. I bless you in the city. I bless you in the field. I bless you going in. I bless you going out. No weapon formed against you going to prosper. Every tongue that comes against you, God said he's going to condemn it. If you're a tither, I'll open up windows of heaven and just pour you out blessing. I mean, it's just a pull in your head if you just believe me. See, that's hearing of the written word. That's the ear, this vital organ. Write this down. Your hearing of that word will produce the dynamic of life. The hearing of that word produces the dynamic of life. Do you know the patriarchs, the prophets, the psalmists? Everything they ever did in the Old Testament was done by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. It all started that way, by hearing. And you can't have faith for something that hadn't been preached to you.
That's right.
You didn't believe in healing until somebody started preaching. That's why God called Oral Roberts in the 40s to preach healing to his generation. Because before, if you got something, just hang on and hope to God that you don't die. Till Oral Roberts came on, William Branham came in, Jack Cole, A.A. Allen, the healing evangelist, they called him in those days. My Lord, it was something. Nobody, we thought, well, you just got to take it. No. And then late 60s and early 70s, there was a man named Kenneth Hagin, and Kenneth Copeland said, if you'll live by faith, God will bless you and you can have the laws of prosperity. Whoa! And before, nobody ever thought, my God, man, you just can't do that. You just got to take what happens and just hope you get through it. But people begin to receive. They heard the written word of God. They begin to read the word. Because we were told growing up, if you were Catholic in New Orleans, don't read the Bible, you'll go crazy. So you couldn't even hear the written word of God, much less the spoken word of God. Isn't that amazing? So there was no dynamic of life. There was no life summing up from the heart. Because what happened is the hearing produced, I'm getting ahead of myself again, produced a condition of unbelief. Because the church wouldn't believe it. So the church had to come up with something how to function and how to operate financially. And giving wasn't a part of it. It was selling chicken. Pies. Fairs. Nothing wrong with that. But how many fairs you got to have? Chicken dinners. We provided y'all, we want y'all to buy a $5 plate, and my God, it wasn't worth 5 cents. You know why he told you to read your church bulletin? Because there's some word in there. It's not because we printed it. You see what I'm saying? So when you understand, your hearing of that word will produce a dynamic of life. All Old Testament, Psalms, prophets, patriarchs, all of people did this because faith cometh. That's why Abraham left his family and went looking for a place. He didn't know where he was going. That's why Moses walked out of the halls of Egypt, a prince of Egypt, into the desert of Sinai, my Lord. That's why Jesus Christ left the halls and the portals of glory and became flesh and dwelt so that he became poor, that through his poverty you might become rich. That's why he said Abraham was very rich. That's why there was gold and pearls and everything else in there. That's why he tells you about the gates, pearls, and diamond, beryl, jasper, onyx, ruby, all this stuff to get you to waking up, waking up, wake up. Don't live in the poverty of life when poverty is not a part of God whatsoever at all. What would you do if you saw a homeless angel? You'd say, I don't want to hear nothing from him. I got a revelation. Go tell it to yourself, sucker. Because if it ain't working for you, what makes you think it's going to work for me? Why do you buy people's tapes on or CDs on divorce when they had one? I got this great set on how not to get a divorce. Did you get a divorce? Yeah, I don't want to hear what you guys say. I had one man one time, he preached this sermon in Metairie, Louisiana. What to do if you miss the rapture? I didn't buy the tape. I ain't missing the rapture. I don't need to know about that. Y'all remember that sermon? It was at a certain place on Metairie. Yes, I ain't buying that tape. See, this is a hearing of the written word. So I want this now. This should bring a response into your life. Let's go to the hearing of the spoken word. What does that mean? The preaching of the word is an effectual means of convincing and converting people to hearing faith. The preaching of the word is an effectual means of convincing and converting people to hear faith. Why? You got to get them to hear faith. Because see, once it's in the soul, it starts producing faith. It blows into the spirit. Then it comes back out of the spirit into the soul to a crucified body. Now your Trinity is functioning and operating like God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. See, because it's functioning. It's flowing between all three facets. You one, yet you three. Now, if you want to get in a fight, just go to a church that don't believe that. It's called Jesus Only. Jesus only. Okay, that's all you want. That's fine. I never forget one time I passed a church that preached that the Trinity doctrine is. It was so funny. I was driving and I saw this sign in the churchyard. Is the Trinity doctrine in the Bible? No, no, no. And it was in red letters with three no's and an exclamation point. As I passed the sign, the Lord said, turn around, look at the back of it. I turned around and he said, Holy Ghost revival. Wait a minute. Something wrong here. Where was that at, Brother Jesse? That was across the river. In Luling. I wanted to send the picture of the other side of the sign. Whew. There's a hearing of the spoken word. The preaching of the word is an effectual means of convincing and converting people to hearing faith. You see what I'm saying? To hearing it. Faith cometh. It don't stack up. It don't reside. I don't care if you say it 50 years. You don't have to 50 years of faith. It has to come. Ladies and gentlemen, when I lay my head back down, I got to go to Tulsa, Oklahoma when I finish here. When I get back tonight late and I lay my head down, I ain't going to have one iota of faith left in me. None whatsoever at all. Michelle, I ain't going to have nothing. Nothing, man. I'm going to be drained to the core. Complete. I ain't going to have an ounce of faith. But I promise you before I walk out that house tomorrow morning, whoo, Lord Jesus, I'll go into that chapel and I'll begin to hear the written word of God. I'll begin to preach to myself, Jesse, let me tell you what you can do. I said, what can I do? Let me say it out loud. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I bless God. All of a sudden I come out Just call me Jesse Rocky. Let's go. I'm gonna burn it all up again tomorrow and I'm gonna refill it every day of my life. That's the hearing of the spoken word. See, the preaching of the word. It's not just teaching. Preaching, proclaiming. Teaching is explaining. Sometimes you get the teaching and then I get a little excited because it goes over to proclaiming. Wow! Proclaiming. Because it's convincing and converting. Ah. Now, how does it do that? Write this down. This genesis of faith is born by a solitary experience. It's just you and God. Its beginning is in the soul. It's a solitary thing. One second you have it, the next second you don't. People don't create faith in you. What I'm doing is preaching and proclaiming. All of a sudden, something goes, the switch turns on. It's like falling in love. Now, that's the craziest thing in the world, to fall in love. Because you could be, the day before, you didn't love the girl. I mean, you liked her, but you didn't love her. In fact, you saw her flaws. Then you woke up the next morning and went, oh, Jesus, I can't live without that woman. I can't live without that man. Now, the day before, you wasn't in love. What happened? A solitary experience.
Oh, that's good.
The light came on.
Amen.
That's why faith does. You got to remember, just 5 seconds before, I can do that. With no evidence physically. But now you know. Now you know. Got to remember, just a few seconds before. See, faith is a solitary experience. Boom! All of a sudden you go, man, I'll tell you what. I love that statement. People say that in Texas all the time. Tell you what. And I go, what? That's all. They quit talking. I'm one man asked me one time, I come out over here to the voice of God, but just, I said, you don't stay still long enough. You don't stay still. You don't. How come God don't talk to me? Because as soon as you finish talking, you leave. Oh, Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for helping me today. Bye. And he goes, I was about ready to say something. The genesis of faith. He that hath an ear, let him hear what I'm saying. See, it begins in the soul, in the mind, the will, and the emotion. It's born by a solitary experience. That's why you need to hear the spoken word of God, the preaching of the word of God. Now, you see, are you getting this? This is Jesus. He always said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what I'm saying. Whew. Man, the beginning. It's like God saying, light be. He didn't say, let there be light. English said that. He didn't put no let there, because there might not have showed up. He didn't want to even give there a chance. He just said, light be. And it did. Whew. Let's go on to the next one. There's a hearing of the incarnate word. What does that mean? The word was made flesh. Now, when the word is made flesh, it gets on flesh. It's called contagious. Contagious. There's such a thing as called the contagion of faith. You become contagious. I got preachers all the time wanting to travel with me constantly. Boy, if I could just hang around you. He says, hang on. They don't need to, if they want to, they can. That's not the issue. But my point, my God, it's then hang around with Jesus. Good Lord, man. I mean, your horizon is pretty low if you're looking at me when you can look at the King of Kings. Write this down. The contagiousness of faith is a testimony of life. The contagiousness of faith is a testimony of life in which Christ's character walks among people. The Word made flesh. You want to see Jesus? Look at me. Why don't I commit adultery? Why don't I steal? Why don't I do all those things? Because I am walking in the character of Jesus. Do you see that? That's what stops me, because the Word is incarnate. It was made flesh. And the only Jesus you may ever see is the Jesus in me, or I, the Jesus in you. People always want to see Jesus. Let them tell people, look at me. I have his character. I have his honesty. I have his heart. See what I'm saying? Character. Man, what a blessing. That's something that the church world needs to hear about. Character. Let me say it again so you can write it down. This is the hearing of the incarnate word. The contagiousness of faith is a testimony of life in which Christ's character walks among the people. Just walks. I've heard some people say, boy, Brother Jesse did tonight. Jesus did that. Yes. He's my example. Yes. Yes. You see what I'm saying? That's that contagiousness. Now, you see, when you get contagious, I call it a Christian virus. Now, you know something about viruses. They talk about Ebola all the time. It's hard to get. How come people getting it? Well, you only get it from body fluid. It's spit body fluid. Excuse me, Nathan. No, I don't have Ebola. But what would you do if somebody had Ebola? Oh, but you can't. But, you know, it's body fluid. Huh? They don't know. But you shouldn't be afraid of it. Because fear tolerated is faith contaminated. I am contagious. You hang around with me, you're going to smile whether you like it or not. I got some people smile like you. Hey, start, Marty. It just takes a while. I have preached convention by the time I got there. There are four preachers before me. They done sunk the thing. Louisa, they sunk it, man. I got there, everybody like it. Nobody know the trouble I seen. Oh, God. I come and I go, hey! Hey! I feel good. Nah, nah, nah. Get on up! Come on, man. Bless God. Look at the white people. Y'all don't even have no idea what I'm talking about. Look at the black people. Right on, brother. Right on. Get up! Do something! Glory to God, man! I had people walk out the church and say, I thought it was bad out there. It is if it gets in your character. Let me tell you something about contagiousness. People that hate you will shout for you. Who is this? I shook up the world. I shook up the world. Who said that? Muhammad Ali. I say, sure did. I shook up the world. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Yeah. I shook up the world. Yeah. It ain't bragging if you can do it. They all thought he was bragging, and that was those guys laying on the canvas. I shook up the world. Jesus shook up the world. He shook up heaven. Angels said, where are you going, Father? What are you going to do, Father?
He ain't going down there with them crazy fools that we've been running around with. No. He said, I'm going to be made flesh. Oh, no, don't do that. On the cross, I shook up the world. Then he went to hell. Some people don't believe that, but he did. And then he shook up hell. He said, oh, Father, get on up. Will you leave my soul in hell? Boom, the light went on. It's dark. Bam, every man, every demon just seen them, as ugly as they was. He come flying out of there. Contagiousness. A man from Nazareth. The reason why he did that, and this is what Jesus did through his whole life. Only do what my Father says to, only say what my Father says to say, and I only do what my Father says to do. He would not allow unbelief to produce a condition in him. He could have sinned. Which brings me to this. The condition of unbelief comes from a soul that has not heard the word of God. The condition of unbelief comes from a soul, the mind, who has not heard the word of God. They may have heard religion. They may have heard messages, but they haven't heard the word. They haven't heard the written word or the spoken word, much less the incarnate word. So the only thing left is an atheist. Because then unbelief totally takes over. Of course, they can't prove any of the theories. No. I had a man tell me, he's a very intellectual atheist. He said, you know, Reverend, can I say something to you? I said, sure. I thought you were going to nail me. He said, I really believe you're a very intellectual person. I said, well, thank you. He said, you're smart. I can see that. How come you're not an atheist? That's exactly what he said. I looked at him. I said, takes too much faith. Actually, what I meant was too much unbelief. See, he has a condition of the soul. He hadn't heard it. He that hath an ear, let him hear what I'm saying. See? I mean, even preachers have a hard time. Nicodemus, that boy pretty good. He said, Jesus said, except a man be born again. He said, whoa. See, he's intellectual. How can I go inside my mama once again and be born? That sounds kind of stupid, doesn't it? But a person that's not born, see, he's hearing it in the soul. He has a condition of unbelief. He hadn't had faith come yet. But when he did, they gave him a show called Nick at Night. Yeah. Where do you get this stuff? I don't know. It just came flying in my mind. Nick at Night, because he came to Jesus at night. He said, I'm going to give you a reality show, Nick at Night. Lord, let's go, baby. Faith was born. Faith was born. Whew. Watch what's happened after the resurrection. On the road to Emmaus, these guys are walking. All of a sudden, the guys say, hey, how y'all doing? I'm doing fine. You know, but when you're so full of unbelief in your eyes, it just can't nobody be raised from the dead. It just can't. It just can't be. You can walk right by Jesus and don't even know God's standing by you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's like somebody eating donuts and drinking low-fat milk think they're going to lose weight. That's cutting back. Oh, yeah, you cutting back all right, baby. You cutting back. Show ya. That's funny to me. It's just hilarious. It's like a person told me the other day, they wouldn't get a salad. I was in Canada. They wouldn't get a salad. They said, I'm on a diet. This salad was this big, this high. They didn't use it. They had a crock of dressing. I thought to myself, Lord, this just wiped out the garden. Good God. Now, that's ignorance going to seed. Unbelief is a condition that's created when you don't hear the word of God. See? Yeah. And yet Jesus walked it out. He not only told you to believe it, he said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll become exactly like you. I will call myself the Son of Man. I will be tempted in all mannerisms as you were. But I'm going to hear my Father say something, and I'm going to only do what my Father says to do. And he created faith in him. Things were not easy. This cup can pass from me. See, that's Satan trying to get in his soul to produce a condition of unbelief. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine. Son, that's the incarnate word. Now let's go to the last one. The hearing of the mystical word. Ooh. It's not the occult or crazy stuff or voodoo or things of that nature. Write this down. There's a hearing of the mystic word. What does that mean? Well, let me tell you something about the word of God. Faith will produce a history. The growth of its energy goes throughout your whole being. See, that's why people think I'm a little strange. I'm mystical to them. Because, see, faith has produced a history for me. And then the growth of its energy went throughout my whole being, or goes throughout your whole being. See, it has totally consumed me. Bad that I walk by faith and not by sight. So going down on an airplane, instead of being afraid, I'm not being man up on nothing. I laughed. When I was at East Jefferson Hospital, what's the name of the place? East Jefferson Hospital, is that right? In Jefferson Hospital, they said, you have a crossed artery. Well, what is that? Well, we don't know. You was born that way. Okay. You mean, he said, someone must have died in your family that had it. I said, I don't know of anybody. Supposed to have arteries going into your heart like this, right? Mine were like this. Crossed. I said, how do you fix that? Well, me and Kathy just now, no, well, that's what I was looking for. Well, I want to be well. Well, the biggest operation any man can have. And I said, or any person really. I said, what's that? They said, that's open heart surgery. I said, what are you doing tomorrow? He goes, man, you make decisions quick. All I can hear in my mind, you do what you got to do. He said, I got to tell you something. First, do you know what this means? We're going to put you under anesthesia. Do you know you can die? I said, I can handle that. Next question. He said, but I promise you, you're so healthy that you can come off that table. You got a 99.9. I said, no, I got 100%. Why? I said, because death and life's in the power of my tongue, not in the power of your hands. But I thank God for your hands. Now, I almost died when we saw the bill. No, just joking. No. You want an honest answer? I don't even know how much it was. Kathy probably does. She just pays everything, you know. He said, now, you're going to spend at least 3 to 4 days in intensive care and probably 5-6 days. I said, man, I ain't got time for that. I was in intensive care 5 hours. Wow. I was standing up 25 minutes after open heart surgery, which no one can do. You have no strength. I'm standing there going, get on up. Yeah. It's mystical, isn't it? They said, you're going to have to eat hospital food. I said, do you eat it? He said, oh, no. I said, if you ain't eating it, I ain't eating it. You know what's the first thing they served me after open heart surgery? Pork chops. Somebody crazy in the kitchen over there. Kathy went to Houston's and got me a salad and all kinds of stuff. They called me the gourmet patient. They said, now you're going to have to walk. I said, okay. I got a nurse. She said, can you walk down the hall? Yes, ma'am. I'm walking with the nurse. She says, can you slow down? My leg hurts. She looked at that crazy woman. I thought, woman, I'm the one who just got cut in half. Well, Mr. Planet, it's going to be at least 5 to 6 hours. I was out in 2 hours and 20 minutes. Mystical, isn't it? Now, faith has a history. Ooh, Jesus. And then my contagiousness, I begin to infect people. I mean, I'd be walking down the hall and the other people they were in pain. I wasn't in pain at all. They were in pain. Reverend, can you come in and pray? I'm sure. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I should have received an offering. Man, I'd have done real well in that hospital. For your offering of a generous support. It was great. You know what the heart surgeon said? You got better blood pressure than me. I know. He said that to me. He said, you're not a sick man. I said, I know. Mystical. Well, that only happens for just certain people. Ah, that's why so many people are in trouble, because they accept that. See, they're producing a condition of unbelief right there, because you heard that in your soul. But I heard with long life, me and Kathy, we didn't even have a chance. We never even told anybody, not because we was trying to hide it. We didn't have time. This was on a Monday. We found out Monday at 7 o'clock at night, boom, the next morning. And I mean, I'm out the hospital. I think Richie was there when that was, and so was Ken. And that doctor said, did he say it, Richie? You're not a sick man. No, I wasn't planning on being sick. I just fixed something. I mean, that was nothing. You know what's bad? Dentist. Ooh, Jesus. Son, when you go to the dentist, you better have some faith, because there's some Nazis over there. They tear your mouth. They could put some chapstick. Then they want to talk to you. How you feel? Then they give you enough shots, and then your chin's hanging on your chest. Go ahead and rinse your mouth up. It's all over you. My God. But when you have that mystical word, that comes from somebody that believes that Jesus was made flesh, faith will produce a history. The growth of its energy goes throughout your whole being. Now watch this. It's my closing. The still small voice. A tenderness. I knew you was going to do it. I just knew you was going to do it. Let me say it again. The experience. And it's eternal peace. It's a stillness. It's a solitary experience. It's not the end. To me, that's just the beginning. The genesis of faith. So when God goes to say something to me, I go, he's starting to create. He that hath an ear, let him hear what I'm saying. That's what I want to get in every one of you. That if Jesus tarries and your children grow up, he won't struggle. They'll remember. I'll say one more thing and I close. Meredith, my granddaughter, she's such a blessing of God. That's Meredith back there. She's the greatest granddaughter in the world. She's the best. She came over to our house and spent the night. She says, heat up the pool. Heat the pool up there, grandfather. I said, okay. I want to go swimming. Go invite some men. So she invited Emily, which is Martin's little girl, Emily. Now, I know immediately when them kids come to my house, I become a servant. I said, what y'all want to eat? And it's always this, Popeyes. Now, I hadn't eaten Popeyes in a long time. I try to stay away from Popeyes because Pastor told me it got crack cocaine in it. That's what Pastor says. He said, you eat that once or twice in a week, you can want it every day. It just pull on you. So I said, Meredith, Emily, what do y'all want? Popeyes. And I want some red beans and rice. And I said, okay, I'll get all that. Y'all want some french fries? Yeah.
I look at Emily. I said, Emily, you want something? Mashed potatoes. I said, your wish is my command. So to the Popeyes I went. I get the Popeyes. I said, okay, I want some chicken strips. Y'all want a spicy or mild? I mean, these kids, they got choices, you know. They say, mild. And I said, okay, I got that. I get it all together. And the girl's just looking at me, you know. And I said, all I have was a $100 bill. Now, the thing had just opened up right there on the River Road, you know, 11 o'clock. Kids eat a little early, you know. She said, we can't take that. I said, you turning down a $100 bill? Man, you must be rich. She said, no, we just ain't got no change. And then the manager says, I'd normally go get change, but I don't have the time right now. I'm setting this thing up over. So I'm thinking, well, I ain't gonna go back to Meredith and Emily and say, times are hard. No mashed potatoes, no chicken strip, no, they won't. So I said, well, do you have a card? I said, yes, I got a card. She said, we'll take that. I said, well, what am I going to do with this $100? She says, I don't know. I said, well, how about if I give it to you? $100 to make Jesus come. It's a Jesus, come to Jesus meet. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Ah, Lord Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. I never heard nobody know the trouble. No, Jesus. I said, well, here you have the 100. Bless somebody today. Oh, you serious? Yeah, I'm serious. So Emily and Meredith cost me $100 plus $27.04. But that's all right. It don't make no difference. It's mystical, isn't it? Yeah. You don't should be getting no $100. Why? See, it came from my heart. I don't know the girl. She looked at me, she said, you a preacher. I said, yes. Watch this. How can you do this? You don't think she's been infected?
No.
Is that a sad statement? I said, I'll tell you how. Same way God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good. I said, is today good? She said, today good. Healing all that were oppressed of the devil, but the Lord God was with him. I said, now I'm going to put my name there. How God anointed Jesse with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For the Lord God was with him. I said, you have a great day today, sweetheart. I said, remember, the Lord blessed you today. There was a man standing behind me going. Now I know why you got that big house. And I wanted to say, Popeye's chicken? That's the character of Christ. So, when you understand that the ear is the organ of response, you'll understand the genesis of faith. Did you enjoy it this morning? Give the Lord a big God bless you.